Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect, families grow, lives change.
I brought this couch today because sometimes I need a little therapy. Anybody ever need a little therapy? I'm addicted to approval. I'm really into you approving of me. In fact, sometimes even while I'm preaching, I think, are they liking it? If you guys get quiet, and you might just be listening, then I overanalyze. I go on a witch hunt, addicted to approval. I was bound by approval my whole life because my dad kind of hooked me on it as a child. I stayed with it even after he was gone on to be with the Lord. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And still addicted to approval, looking for somebody else to pull my strings. And one of the ways you can tell, and this is just one quick twist, if you're addicted to approval, is you care what they think more than what is good for you or what you think. I was in a conversation not long ago, and this guy was talking, me, it's about me. Anybody ever had that happen? You didn't raise your hand, so that's you. So now there's about six people at the table. Then you have that awkward moment where everybody else could care less and they're talking to each other and that person's still going and they make eye contact with you. And because you're a pleaser, you're like, oh man, I've got to listen. Anybody been in that situation? You're like, now you're listening to a conversation you could care less about and you're not even hearing them anymore. You're just going, oh my gosh, do you ever take a breath? That means sometimes you're so concerned about them. Now, I think it is nice to be nice. So we do that sometimes to be nice, but I started kind of recently realizing after that conversation, I thought, I'm not going to do that to myself. If they're talking about themselves the whole time, I'm going to say, am I doing this because I'm just being nice to the nice person? Or are they so full of themselves that they just kind of need to know, you know what, I think I'll just go ahead and videotape me now. Well, and then I turned 18. Let them talk to the hand because you ain't got to listen. You get addicted to approval and it can wreck your life. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. We're going to talk a minute about text messages. The best thing to do in life is to erase the message and delete the number and move on. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm saying that people will manipulate you by text. They'll continue to go and go, and you're like, no, you didn't. Well, here's what I really meant, and you're sucked into, you're typing. No, you're not. They're typing. They're pushing your buttons, and they're controlling you. Really, at the end of the day, it's a root of fear. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of power and a love and a sound mind. Everybody shout, sound mind. How many of y'all want a sound mind? I mean, currently it's debatable, but you do want a sound mind. Okay. The quickest way to have an unsound mind is to continually allow your mind to go, I can't make them happy. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And you're controlled by them instead of him. Matthew 4, verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. Everybody shout, if you. If you are the Son of God. This is the temptations of Christ. We know that he's tempted three times in a row, back to back. Satan comes and Satan actually quotes the word to him. If you were the Son of God, then you could command these stones to be turned into bread. Then Jesus recants that with the word of God. Always answer the enemy with the word. Then he said, well, if you bow down before me, then I will give, if you do this, I will give you this. I'll give you the whole world. He wasn't even capable of giving him the whole world. A lot of times people intimidate you and try to convince you that they can give you something that they're not even capable of giving you. But we are so inferior, we keep doing. No, you have to say, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to do it. He ends up saying, look, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself off this building. Didn't God say in Psalms 91? The devil's quoting the Bible. That's better than most church folks. The devil quote the Bible. And he answers him and says, no, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He answers him with the word, but the enemy will try to control. He will try to take the text out of context, and then you get conned by the text. For instance, in the church world. Well, why are you cutting me off? That's not love. You're not acting like a Christian. You're not acting. Here's the answer to that. You are one. Shout, I am one. I'm not acting. I am that. Well, if you love me, if you were a real Christian, then you would let me, what? Continue to control? So then you actually cut the strings. The strings are now cut, and you're not moving anymore to that. Then they will say, okay, well, I can't get their money. They're going to stop paying my bills. Don't cut me off. Can we just text? The answer to that really is up to you. Maybe they're saying, can we just text, so they can keep texting so they can start tying you up again with that next thing. So now all of a sudden you're moving to their movement because you have to be honest with you. That's my next point. Everybody shout, don't lie to yourself. Now, at the end of the day, we all lie a little. It's going to be uncomfortable for you because you don't like to think about me lying. Look, I don't want my preacher to lie. My last preacher, he never told me about lying. Well, I have lied, and sometimes the little boy said, what is a lie? It's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. But the difference between me and that other preacher is that preacher is a liar, because you're a liar when you don't say that you lie. People say, well, I never lied. Well, now you're still lying. I know you're lying. You're lying right now up in church. The Bible said, put away lying. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But now that I've become a man, I put away childish things. In other words, you're able to confront the confronter, because that will not change that you don't confront. What you tolerate will contaminate your entire life. You have to be honest and tell them, I can't do that. Every time we get together, I drink. Every time we get together, I whatever. Every time we get together, you know that you can't do that. And that person knows that they can continue to manipulate you. Well, I will marry you when we... You're lying? If you don't, I will. So my dad would always play that if game with me. If you don't listen to me, you ain't going nowhere. And I was always pleasing him. Now, this passage right now is a great, great passage. It comes from a psalm and a psalmist, Ricky Nelson. And it says, I went to a garden party. Anybody ever heard of it? Everyone knew my name. Then it goes to this line. It says, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. And it's all right now, he said. Yeah, I learned my lesson well. Then he goes back into, see you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. Now, I'm not saying that you got to please yourself, as in you do what you want the way you want because you want it selfishly. I'm just saying at the end of the day, you have one life. And the song was born out of, if you ever play a garden party, I wish you a lot of luck. Then he goes into this narrative how Chuck Berry comes out of this closet playing the guitar, and he looked like he did back in the day, and the people that were being entertained said, we like him because he stayed the same. Ricky, you have changed. Listen, something ought to change. If you're still wearing pants from 1983, you got to get rid of them. They still fit me. No, they don't. I'm still a 34. No, you're a 44. You just got them down here. Come on, somebody ought to say this. I'm cool if you're young and you got... I realize that you can wear a smaller pant when you're 18 and you're hanging with your hood girl. You got that down there. I understand that. That's cool. That's fine. But even here, it's been such a cold winter in Missouri, they're even pulling their pants up. It's been cold up in here. He said, but you're in denial. You never change. Everything has to change. When Joseph came from the pit to the palace, his brothers came to him years later, and he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him because he has changed. Now, Ricky Nelson wrote that song because he said, everybody wants me to be who I was. Preachers ought to preach this way. Preachers ought not wear socks like that. Preachers shouldn't wear jeans. You're supposed to wear a backwards collar. You're supposed to wear a tie. You're supposed to wear a jacket. What is the uniform? What are you supposed to... Well, they don't... Watch people manipulate me. They don't like it when you preach too long. They don't like it when you preach too short. They don't think you use enough Bible. They think you use too much Bible. And the next thing I know, I'm so confused up here. I'm like a mosquito at a nudist colony. I don't know which way to bite. I'm just... So now I'm trying to be Joel. Did you enjoy it today? And then somebody else wants me to go, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. So I just got to be me. You understand what I'm saying? But the control issue started back here when my dad said, if you do that, I'll tan your hide. And his eyes start, he had an anger issue. And I was afraid of him. Then growing up, I got married, moved out. But I didn't really move out. He still controlled it. So then I was married for 8 years. And then at the end of the day, I can't blame anybody but me. But after 8 years of marriage, my wife, she had no respect for me. She goes, I know who controls this. And I'm tired of our life being controlled by him. Now, I told you, in all due respect, I love my dad. How many of y'all know it's almost lopsided? I tell you how great he is and awesome he is. But the fact is, he had this little control issue. And I went ahead and let the divorce happen. There was a lot of divorce capabilities there because of all the water that went under the bridge and everything was going. So she left, and then I lied to myself. The worst lie that you can have is the one you tell yourself, because a self-deceived man is the most deceived man in the world. So I'm telling myself, well, here's the, I've convinced her. No, you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. That isn't his idea. That's what I really want. But deep down inside, there was something in my soul being torn apart because I knew I was lying to her. And listen, just because people don't tell you they know you're lying doesn't mean they don't know you're lying. I'm going to lay down for this. It's getting really therapeutic now. I'm saying that. I told my daughter-in-law the other day, because somebody did something or said something about her, and to make her feel better, I started lying to her about why they didn't mean it that way, and that's not what it said. And then 3 minutes later, I said, I'm lying to you. The quickest way to break yourself a lie is halfway through the lie, just go ahead and say, I've been talking for 10 minutes, but all that was a lie. Just totally lied to you. Come on, somebody ought to say, man, just lie. So then when I told MJ, my precious daughter-in-law, I just lied to you, she said, I know. And I'm like, you know. Then I got to thinking, how many times have I lied and people didn't call me out on my lie? Okay, it's getting quiet. I'm going to try it over here because y'all ain't playing along. I said, anybody in here ever had anybody lie to you and you knew they were lying, but you just didn't call them out on the lie? Come on, raise your hand. You knew they were lying. But for some reason, you and I think we're smarter than everybody else, so we think, they don't know. They're not that smart, so they're not going to know we're lying. I think they know. Now, some people don't know, but it's just like us with driving. You and I can drive down the road, fly through traffic crazy, whoop, 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 and we just like, we know what we're doing. Some other guy goes, whoop, whoop, you're like, that crazy idiot's going to kill somebody. Because they don't know how to drive, but we know how to drive. Do I have anybody superior driver? Come on, even at home, Palm Beach, St. Louis, superior drivers. But now, I broke myself of that, for the most part, by saying, I lied to you. Then I had to say to myself years ago, you're lying to yourself, David. You don't want to do that. You got to draw some lines for your dad. But when I talk to him, it just escalates, intimidates, infuriates. Here's how this is going to roll. So you can't talk to him. So I just didn't have any, because I'm a pleaser. Now, I can't, and you can't, make yourself feel bad because you're not qualified to argue with Saddam Hussein in your life. You're not qualified because you're a pleaser and they're a dictator. Don't say you're bad. Just say it's who I am. So knowing that about me, knowing who I am in light of my past experience, in light of everything that I've done and everything I have been previously, I might need to actually take in some notes about why this ain't my problem. Because sometimes I've confronted people and by the end of the confrontation, I said, you know what? You're totally right. I don't even know how I got so screwed up. You are right. And I do need to keep doing what you told me to do. This is where it gets quiet. And I know it's not because you don't like the preaching. It's because you're like, oh my God. He's up in my Kool-Aid right now. And then you got the intimidator going, this is the last time I come to this church, because if she ever finds out about me running her like this, so I'm going to say the worship's too loud. He ain't right. He laid down. He's down. Okay, yeah, I'm dealing with you. You got to be smart enough not to lie to yourself when he says, I don't want to go back to that church. No, he just doesn't want to hear the truth, because the truth will set you free. And I'm not just talking about a husband abusing a wife or a wife abusing your husband. I've seen little skinny women beating up on a 300-pound man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it can happen in business. It can happen with a crazy kid living in your basement, eating up your groceries, and you won't go downstairs and tell him, hit the road, Jack. Don't come back. Okay, that's an old song. I got one less problem without you. I got one less problem. You got to do it. So you got to know this about you. Proverbs 29:25. Survey says. The fear of man brings a snare. But the King James says, he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Isaiah 54 says, "Fear not, neither be ashamed, neither be confounded into shame, because you will forget the shame of your youth. Neither will you seriously remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Fear not, you will not be ashamed." My dad would always say, "I'll shame you. You won't make it without me." And I love him. Now, it doesn't make me not love him. It makes me realize now, after years of being in the people business, that the reason he was doing that is he was afraid. The root of this thing was fear, because he was afraid he would lose me. Oh, man, he's my worship leader. Yes, he's my son, and I love to be with him, and he's my pilot. So he had what he wanted, and he didn't want anybody to jack with that. He didn't want me to jack with that. So his way of dealing with that was not build me up and say, "Someday you're going to be great." It was to beat me down and say, "Nobody's going to want to hear you." So I will tell you, 11 years later, sometimes, 11 years later when I'm preaching, I still hear my dad's voice say, "Nobody's going to want to hear you." This will be the last Sunday they came, because look at you, you're up here singing, "Went to the garden party." Who in the world does that? Ridiculous. Set it up like it was a psalm and then rip that off of the side of that. You just don't know what you're doing. That's why you go to that. You try to make people laugh and you get uncomfortable. You got to have some depth about you. Listen, I had to say, wait a minute. This is incredibly deep. To preach the word like crazy, get them to laugh their pants off, slap them upside the head, and get them laughing again about it. This is a gift that God gave me. Now, I know I'm not Joel. I can't be Joel. I can't be Jakes. I got to be me. You got to be you. But the fruit still keeps coming. Now, my church in Florida, there's some orange trees everywhere. You can pick all the oranges off of the tree in Palm Beach County. Pick them all off. But if you don't get rid of that root, it ain't going to be long until you have oranges again. So the root is fear. The fruit is insecurity. The fruit is you're not good enough. The fruit is you will never. Nobody's ever going to hear you. So then the first 2 years of my life, I went crazy thinking, nobody's going to want to hear me. Man, they're going to want to hear my dad. So I tried to be my dad for 2 years so nobody'd leave. It's hard being somebody else. I'm prophesying to everybody. I'm doing everything they want to do. I'm preaching an hour and a half. I'm sweating it back. I'm saying, if you don't clean up and come to Christ today, you're going to go to hell. You'll be driving down the road and a cupcake truck will hit you and you'll go to hell. You'll wake up in hell and there'll be cream filling all upside of you. Do you want to go to hell? And people are like, man, I'm tired of hearing about going to hell. Went to work. They told me to go to hell. My wife told me to go to hell. My boss told me to go to hell. Go to church and they told me to go to hell. I'll tell you, Jesus told me, don't say that. People need to hear, I know the plans I have for you, they're for good, not for evil, to bring you expected in. I'm not pointing the finger at you this way, I'm pointing the finger at you this way. I'm here to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. I'm not mad at you, but I'm mad about you. Then come to find out the church filled up with a bunch of people who said, I ain't been to church for 35 years, because last time I went, they scared out of me, and I never went back again. But then I went back another time, and then I went to jail, and they tried to reform it out of me, and then I went to church, and they tried to beat it out of me, and then I just came here, and Jesus loved it out of me. That's the crux of the Bible, is we don't have to be manipulated by the way. Let's talk about they. Who are they? They don't like it. When I drilled down on they about a year ago, because I was like, I need to change. I need to get better. And I do. So I said, introduce me to they. Here's what the person said. Because they is them. When I drilled down, I said, well, let's go talk to them about it. I'm not going to do that. I'm a person of integrity, and I'm not going to betray their confidence. Okay. Well, no, really, I just need to come to find out. When you really drill and you really drill, it was them. It wasn't a they like a multitude. It was one person trying to manipulate who I was being told by God I should be, which, by the way, happens naturally. You don't have to really think about, like right now, I'm not thinking about what's the political angle of this? How am I going to do this? I'm throwing out a big blanket, and I'm going to make some people mad. I'm going to make some people happy, but I'm just doing what comes naturally to me. Be you and not be intimidated by them. Be validated by him. That's a Twitter right there. Ready? Read. After all three tests, verse 10 kicks in. Jesus' refusal. He says, beat it, Satan. Everybody shout that. Beat it, Satan. Some of y'all scared. You're like, I'm in no shape to antagonize the devil. No, beat it. That's probably where Michael wrote the song. Just beat it. Just beat it. You need to tell the devil, beat it. I'm not going to allow that voice to play in my head when my dad has went on to be with the Lord. Hear me yelling when I say this. My dad's dying at 56 years of age.
I'm going, God, no, God, please, no. Not in this prime. God, I love Dad. Will you please help my dad? Oh, God.
And the Lord spoke to me, and he says, if you're not in the will of God, you're in the way of God. And he said, I love your dad, and your dad's a good man, and I'm going to take him to heaven, and he's going to love it. But right now, he's in retirement, and he's holding everybody back, and he's holding you back, and I have a great church for you to build, and I have a lot of people for you to reach, and he'd be better off here if he's not going to do what I'm telling him to do, and if he's going to hold you back. And I'm like, oh, no. And then just no time, my dad died. And I had peace with that, even though it was horrible. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hated it that I lost my dad, but I knew God was going to do a work in me. And 11 years later, he's still working on me. And I think when he comes, he's still going to be working on me. But I had to say, and you got to say, beat it. Everybody shout, beat it. You got to go Michael Jackson on this thing. Just beat it. I can't moonwalk well, but I can like this. Now, who wants to shake my hands? What do I do with my hands? I don't know what I do with my hands. You and I have to be sure of who we are. Because God didn't give you a spirit of fear, so if he didn't give it to you, who gave it to you? The enemy and the inner me. The enemy was programmed by your situations, by the problems, and the fruit that you're manifesting right now is, man, I don't feel like I can ever make them happy. You can't. So that's why you got to make him happy. And don't just try to make your whole life pleasing everybody and being the peacemakers. Now try to be a peacemaker. But some people are never going to be happy. And then have you ever got up in the morning and you didn't know that you thought you were happy until somebody let you know they weren't happy, and then you knew, ain't nobody happy. Dad ain't happy. You ever heard that term? If mama ain't happy, come on, try it again. If mama ain't happy, mama may never be happy with you. Mama ain't happy with me. I ain't seen my mom in 8 years. She ain't happy with me. She doesn't like what I did. And I hate that. And I bear the scar of that. I bear the shame of that. I bear the pain of that. I love my mom. I respect my mom. But I ain't seen her forever. But I had to go Jesus on that and say, who is my mother and who is my father but him that called me to the greater purpose of God's will for my life. So I have to decide, hey, you can't please everyone, so you got to please. You got to do what you got to do. I had to make a new family. You have your family of choice and family of origin. The family you originated from might not be the family you partied with. They might not. Don't go where you tolerated. Go where you celebrated. So people say, well, you ain't got no mama. But you don't know. You don't know my life. I got so many mamas, it ain't even funny. I got a 70-year-old mama. I got an 80-year-old mama. I got a black mama. I got a Mexican mama. I got so many more mamas than you. You don't even know. I got a hot mama. I got all kinds of mama. The Bible said, no good thing will he withhold. Somebody ought to have it. To them that walk uprightly. Now, I'm not perfect. But he said, no man has left houses, lands, for my sake or the gospel's sake, that he won't give him back a hundredfold return. When all that stuff hit the fan, Joyce Meyer called me. And she said, hey, I heard what's going on in your life. I'm like, oh my gosh, Joyce Meyer. The battlefield of the mind. Oh. She says, I want to meet you at Starbucks. Joyce Meyer wants to meet me at Starbucks. Nicole was so jealous. I'm like, only me. Joyce Meyer wants to meet me. I couldn't even enjoy the conversation because I was just looking at her going, I so want to Instagram right now that I'm with you. Her message changed my life. And she sits there and she said, I'm your new mom. God told me to be your mom. Here's my number. I want to be your mom. Here's a check for $10,000. You bless me when you're on TV and you need to get better cameras. And if you obey God, God will take you great places. And I'm your mom. So she'll just text me. Son, you good? She'll show up back here in the RV sometimes. You just make sure you're not wearing yourself out. Play videos sometimes. If they don't like it, hose them. You stay true to her. The people will wear you out and ruin your life. You just do what God called you to do. I'm old now, and I'm letting you know. I don't look old because I got money and I look good. But at the end of the day, I got it going on. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I'm your mom, and I approve this message. Come on, somebody. I ain't lacking no good thing. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You just let him go. Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back. And two, in love. But you can't spend your whole life addicted to their approval, or you will be trapped and scrapped. You won't like that. So, Genesis 1:26, I feel like I should give you more scripture to validate the sermon. And God said, let us make man in our own image and our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over everything that creepeth on the earth. Did not say have dominion over people. It said basically you got dominion over quail, you got dominion over cows, you can barbecue them. You got dominion over the fish of the sea. You can catch them. But you have no dominion over people. So you can't marry somebody or get in somebody's life and allow or think that you can control them, because you will only make them miserable. And you're afraid to let them go because they might leave you. If you would just be a free you, they'd want to stay with you because they actually love you. They don't like you anymore, but they love you. There's a difference between love and lie. I love some people, but I don't like them. Y'all need to think about that right there. Anybody in here ever love somebody, but you're like, I don't like you? I'm talking about your children. Sometimes I love my daughter, but sometimes I'm like, I don't want to see her. I like the idea of seeing her. I like being out of town and going, God, I miss her. I want to be back with her. I just need to get with her. I'm with her for 10 minutes, and she's bossing me around. I'm like, I like the idea of you better than I like you. Because you acting just like your cray-cray. Yeah, you driving me cray-cray. You are cray-cray. No, I'm not. Yeah, you cray-cray. It runs in your family. All of us had it. So then I had those hard conversations with you. Ashton, people aren't going to like you if you try to dominate them. You have a gift and people like you. But don't try to control people. But she's a strong leader, so it comes natural. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to stop doing that. One day at a time. How am I going to stop letting them control me and dominate me? It's hard. What I had to do is draw parameters for my dad as I close. I've preached so many times this weekend. That's the reason why I like video sometimes, is I feel bad because I tell you the same story. If I already told this story, please, I apologize. We'll edit out for TV. But I have told it so many times. I'm thinking I told it, but I'm not sure I told it. But it's such an important story. I want to tell it. Shout, tell it. Thank you. Now I feel better, you know, that you approved of me telling it one more time. Because if you didn't approve, then I would really feel bad. But we might as well get used to it, too, because as I get older, I'm probably going to tell you a lot of the same stories over and over. But the deal is, you'll be older, so then you won't care. And some of you are like, just shut up, tell it. I got to go. I'm not going to let you manipulate me like that. So now, I go to get married. I meet Nicole. My dad said, nope. You did a bad job the first time, and you're doing it again. You don't need to marry her. Number one, she's not our brand, basically, of Christian. Number two, she got an 8-year-old son. You don't need that. You got all that baggage. Number three, she's too pretty. You don't want another person like that again, because they get vain, and they think they're all that, and that's your problem. So then I found myself on a boat with my dad and a bunch of his friends, and they had brought their daughters. Anybody ever had that thing? I want you to meet them. They got a good personality. Come on right now. Anybody ever heard that? If you hear the words good personality, you got to go. Come on, somebody got, I don't feel good. I don't know what it is. I just don't feel good. If you're a Christian, I just got to check in my spirit. I need to stay home and pray tonight. Lord, I just pray right now, God. I just pray, Lord, that you just touch me. They gone? No, they still, oh God. Let me know when they go, I tell you that. You got your Bible open? But you got your phone in here, you really looking at Facebook. Come on, every deacon in the church is doing that today. Those guys up there, I knocked my glasses off. I looked up and I thought, he's trying to set me up. He said, son, I'm telling you,
Those are good girls. And they are good girls. But they weren't my girl.
I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May.
Come on, help me.
Guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl. Talking about my girl. My girl.
So here I am. I gotta hurry. And this is the reason why you gotta go to church. You're only getting 28 minutes of about a 45-minute sermon, so you're thinking you're getting all this, you're missing it. You can steal information, but you can't steal revelation, and it takes a while to get it to happen. So anyway, so I told Dad, I said, I really feel like I want to marry her. She said, you're making a big mistake. Don't you do that. If you do that. I was scared out of my mind. But then I kept looking at Nicole and I'm like, it'd be worth it. I'm going to try this. Come on, you see her. I said, Lord, Jesus. My daddy doesn't like you, and you know that. But who needs him? You know what I'm saying? We got each other. I got you. You got me. And then this little 8-year-old boy walks in. It wasn't a liability. Don't you ever think for a minute that having a kid is a liability? This was an asset. This means that I didn't have to train a 2-year-old kid how to go to the potty. This guy was ready to take out the trash. Come on. He was ready to help me wash my car. And now, 17 years later, he's my campus pastor. Nicole's my best friend. And my dad was wrong. There you have it. Beat it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Got a question to ask you. Got a question to ask you in Palm Beach and St. Louis. Who would say, Pastor, this was for me. Raise your hand if it was for you. Even at home, right? Just raise it. Let God see you. I'm alone. Let God see you. Father, I pray for my friends right now. That they get their affirmation from you and not them. And that you give them the strength, because I know how hard it is to say no. I know how hard it is to draw lines and push barriers. But God, greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. They can do all things through Christ which strengthens them. And God, I thank you and praise you for this word that brings freedom to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Was that all right for today? Give God praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Shout out, feel good.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
People connect, families grow, lives change.